Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maybe this will be our year, Lakey. Maybe it will. How are you going, my friend? It's great to be back on the podcast. You've been doing such a stellar job.
Thanks, bud. And by our year, I'm assuming you mean the people's team because I've already gone down to the shit house. But, yeah, no, otherwise I'm real good, man. How you doing?
Mate, not bad. Not bad at all. Just finished writing the team's analysis. That's up on the site at the moment. So it's good to get that one out of the way. There hasn't been too many changes over the past couple of weeks, but maybe tonight or today there's a few more for us to discuss. So we're going to get straight into that pretty soon, talking about all the ins and outs and injury and suspension news as well. But before we get into that, just want to say is that if you like the podcast and you're enjoying listening to it three times a week now because you've got the Sunday solo pod or when you can find someone that can be bothered with JT, and then myself, Lakey, and JT as well on a Tuesday, and then Lakey and the Cowboy again on Wednesday night. I mean, we've really given the people here what they want, and if you do enjoy it, you must if you're listening to it, please subscribe and also leave us a review as well. Love the feedback. So let's move straight into around the grounds then, shall we? Lakey, take us away. How did the contributors to the site fare this week?
Well, mate, considering Catfish still doesn't have Teddy, he's doing surprisingly well. He knocked up another 1,100, so he's sitting around 5K and pacing the group. Just ahead of you, I believe. You're around 6K.
You're not doing too badly this year, mate, but it's all going to come crumbling down very soon.
Well, that's it. This is the week for it to happen, isn't it? So we spoke about that last week. This was the round where COVID hit us last time and everyone got the five trades. And I think I said to you guys in a chat that it's where I really ruined my season last year. So I'm kind of glad we don't have it this year.
What, COVID or the five trades?
No, COVID's still around. Five trades just right. Ruined me. Yeah, so Stoyles, he's within the 10K as well. He dropped another 1150. JT, slightly behind him, 13. and then our buy, sell, hold guru, Carlos, slightly behind him. And then a little bit further back is me bringing up the tail. So, yeah, that's exactly right, mate. So, cheering, I've got to make everybody else feel good about themselves. So, I'm happy to do that, play my role.
Yeah. Well, it's not too often that I'm sitting at this end of the rankings, mate, so I'll enjoy that for now. And when I'm back on in a month's time or something, I'm sure that I'll be switching places with yourself. But who knows what's going to happen. And this is an all-important week, and I know you guys are going to jump into all of the trade discussions tomorrow, and today is going to be focused in on all the teams. We're going to jump straight into the injury news. All right, so what do we have happening this week, Lakey, on the injury front?
Oh, mate, haven't we been flogged this week? So we've got the big ones, the big two that have big question marks over them because of their concussions. Maddo hasn't been named, so the Eels have made the call that his concussion is it's best to just rest him. And considering the history he's had, I think that's the right call. So he almost becomes an auto trade out because of that. We don't know how long he's going to be out. I think he got concussed last year and missed 3 weeks. And then you go back to 2017 or 2018, he missed 6 weeks because of it. So I think it's best to just sort of move on. Cleary has been named after suffering a HIA late in his game, but the Panthers have named him just to give him every chance to play. But, considering it's a five-day turnaround, I'd be surprised if he does get up. Other concussion news, Jackson Paulo is out. He had a concussion in the Reggies, then got called up to first grade last week and copped another one, the poor bugger. So he's been put in the protocols, and that's given Josh Mansour a reprieve. But so there's a couple of bigger ones that have happened over the last couple of days. Andrew Davey, we saw go down on the mush that was Brookvale Oval, or Lotto Land, if you will. He's done his ACL, so he's looking to be out for a while. Chanel Harris-Tavita, I know he was a pod option for a lot of people coming into the year as a backup or halfback, or possibly a starting 5'8". So he's got a stress fracture in his foot. He's out 12 weeks after opting to have surgery to fix that up. And the really big one, Raymond Fatila-Mariner, out for 4 to 5 months with a broken foot. It's a bit of a funny one. I didn't hear much about it, you know, throughout the games or throughout the weekend, but it's popped up today. He's gone for scans and it's not good news. So he's pretty much season done.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? It's a massive. I think what I had at top of the injuries was injury jingle, and obviously we just played the jingle, but it really should be the injury jungle. It's absolutely crazy out there with everything that's happening. Concussion causing absolute havoc, and then you've just said a few of those real long-term injuries. So quite sad. Those have come quite late into the piece. You also, I think there you've got Sam Verrills and also Telekai, who are still a couple of weeks away. And noting as well that Trbojevic could be back next week, which is some good news. And your boy Ponga looks like that he won't be back probably in the next couple of weeks, but round six maybe the more likely round.
Well, so last injury report I saw today was Ponga back, due back round 4 or 5. So if he's not back next week, hopefully it's the week after. Knights have sort of just floated through their nice, easy start period that we sort of were expecting. Hopefully can bang up a couple of wins and then get Ponga back before they get into the tougher mid-season schedule for them.
Yeah, well, your mate Barry Tui tweeted today that he thinks he's going to be back in round six. He hasn't started training yet. So I think that's probably likely. They've got a couple of easy games over the next 2 weeks, and then they've got the Titans, which is probably going to be more of a challenging contest than what it has in past couple of years. All right, let's move on to the next part of the show. We are now going to talk about suspensions.
Have you been a bad boy?
I like that jingle. What do you think?
Yes, Jesus, mate. That's got me going, isn't it?
All right, so we've got Felice Kaufusi out for 2 matches for dangerous contact. That was pretty rough. So
he got off light, didn't he? Hasn't he got off light?
He did. I know lots of report about it, so not quite sure what's going on there. But, yeah, he's got off just for 2 matches. Maybe the early guilty plea helped him out there. So that saw Ryan Madison going down with a concussion. Your boy, one of your boys, Phoenix Crossland, out for 2 matches with a crushed tackle on David Fusatua. Jermaine Tunua-Brown, 3 matches out. DWZ, he's just been a fantastic buy for the Bulldogs, hasn't he? Amazing. 2 matches for a high tackle out on also with Nathan Cleary with that concussion. And then Cole Felt, he's gone for 2 matches. I can't remember any time that he's been suspended. Maybe I'm wrong there, but could be a bit out of character for him. So anything else that we've missed there, or is that, have we covered everything on an injury and a suspension front?
No, that's about it. I think there was a few more guys cited, but copped some minor fines, you know, minor in their book, major for me. But yeah, so that was the major sticking point for the suspensions. The crusher tackle's really been the, I guess, the headline grabber of late, hasn't it? We lost Angus last week and we've lost 3 guys this week for it, or 2 guys this week for it. So they're just trying to really rub out that grubbiness in the game, and I think it's great.
Look, mate, this is an NRL 360. It's just a casual NRL Supercoach Talk podcast. So let's just keep the pundit chat for the pundit. So let's move along to the news of the week, and let's jump straight into the teams. All right, Lakey, lead us away with the Panthers versus Storm. What's happening there?
Yeah, so the Panthers are pretty much named as they were last week. But as I said at the start, Cleary's sort of under a big cloud. They're going to give him up to the final hour, sort of team list named to prove he's able to go. But We're lucky it's the first game of the round. Matt Burton's sitting there on the extended reserves, so he'll be a straight swap in for Cleary. Other than that, Appy was out last week late. The news came in before their game. He's broken his wrist, so he's out for about 5 more weeks. Mitch Kenny took his place, and he'll continue to play that role. He played 80 minutes last week, so he looks like a decent play, but he's 310K, so it's a bit of a uncomfortable position to have him. For the Storm, Kafusi's out, obviously. We just spoke about that. So Tom Eisenhuth replaces him out wide. Tyson Smoothie has been dropped to the reserves. And Aaron Penne and Nico Hines are coming back onto the
bench.
Yeah, that's it. So he'll get his first run of the year to on the bench to sort of backfill Kafusi in a roundabout way. And Nico Hines is now the utility for the Storm.
Interesting. Yeah, this should be a cracking game to start the round. I mean, the Storm are pretty much locked and loaded. You kind of know what you're going to expect from their 13. So not too much to speak about, which you've just covered. I guess the only other things in aside on the Panthers is you've got obviously Charlie Staines disappointing, and I'm sure you guys will cover that tomorrow night. And then you've got Spencer Leddy as well. If you don't own him, you're probably looking to bring him in this weekend. And then you've got Jerome Luai has just gone absolutely gangbusters, break even of 16. So they're probably the players of note to speak about from the Storm and for the Panthers. Then for the Storm, the only player that I'll probably just touch on, mate, here is just Remus Smith, produced 37 points in pure base last round, but a guy that has missed due to injury over the first couple of weeks, Branko Lee, could be available for selection in round 4. So probably a player that maybe carries a little too much of a risk to be thinking about bringing him in.
The way I understand it, though, is that Branko will come back into the centres and I'll probably push Remus back out on the wing for replacing George Jennings. So I think Jennings is the cover there for Branko. So Remus should hold his spot. And if my understanding is correct, and I'm obviously no coach whisperer, but if that's the way it goes, Remus will be a good play for the next few rounds. He's on the end of a potent back line, so he'll get some points just for falling across the line.
Yeah, lose the base, though, which is concerning and isn't rock-bottom price. But anyway, let's move on to the Dragons versus the Seagulls on Friday night. No changes for the men who gave plenty of love to a bunch of Cowboy flops last weekend. Which is quite astounding for the Dragons. Have been known to be moving their side around a fair bit, heading on to the Seagulls. And really, you got to feel sorry for those Seagulls fans, eh? They can't take a trick. You got Andrew Davey coming onto the edge, and now he's out with the season-ending ruptured ACL, and he's gone for the season. He's been replaced by Josh Schuster, though, and that's an interesting one for me. Big watch, won't increase in price this week. But the real interesting point there is he's available at 5'8", price at 200K. So if he can produce what he did again last weekend, which is 46 points in 76 minutes, then he's looking as a fantastic trade-in option, particularly for maybe like an underperforming Matt Moylan lull. And then you've got the likes of a Lachlan Lamb or someone like that you could be trading out as well. So a big watch there for me. Seagulls also have a lot of injuries to their edge forwards as well. So anything else you want to add to those two teams, Matt, or should we move along?
Not much. I'm just on the Schuster point. My eyes lit up too when he was named, and I thought, great, I can get Moylan out, get rid of him, goodbye. Curtis Sirenin is due back in round 6, though, so that could put a spanner in the works, but you should expect Schuster to still see some time off the bench in any case.
Well, the way that I look at it anyway is if he plays well, there's no reason why that he can't be pushing Gosiewski out of the side.
Well, except that he's not a noted second rower, from what I understand. He's more...
Have you seen the size of the bloke?
A big unit, huge unit, but yeah.
And I mean, he's not going to play any of the other positions. He's not going to play in the halves unless Foran's down, and then probably unlikely to play in hooker where he's been known to play as well. So I don't know. I think that they're running thin on stocks there. And
throw him at lock. If he's a big unit and he can ball play, throw him at lock. Move Jake Turbo into the middle and play Schuster at lock.
Yeah, potentially. Anyway, let's just hope he stays on that edge, mate. That would be lovely, exactly. Little cash cow out there. Moving along to what should be this along with the Thursday night game. We've got some real crackers this weekend. Rabbitohs versus the Roosters, Friday night at Stadium Australia. Actually, one of the things, like, we didn't speak to earlier, is that is there a legitimate chance that some of these games could be getting called off?
I don't think so. I think the weather is clearing up as of sort of tomorrow. Hopefully be a bit sunnier by the weekend. I looked through BOM today as I could, you know, did my best weatherman impersonation, and it said there's something like 15 to 30% rain due this expected this weekend, chances of. So it's going to be a lot drier than this past weekend. Hopefully it stays clear. And really hopefully for all those people that are struggling down, you know, Penrith and Sydney and all those sorts of places that are flooding out, and they can keep safe for the next week while everything gets cleaned up.
Agree with you, Lakey. Agree with you. Very nice sentiments there. Rabbitohs versus the Roosters. So for the Rabbitohs, you've got Josh Mansour coming back into the side for Paulo, who's out through concussion. Adam Reynolds will need to pass concussion protocols to play. And today, some news around Latrell Mitchell as well. He left training early but has been named. There's been multiple reports on Twitter about that, but hasn't been too much news coming out to know anything further. Do you know much more than that?
I heard that he went off injured. He was clutching a wrist. And I also heard that he's just been given the early mark by Wayne Bennett. Benji Marshall came out and just said something along the lines of Latrell's got Bennett wrapped around his little finger so he can get away with anything, and Bennett's given him an early mark.
Wow.
What was that? Sounds like cat's going on.
I'm just enjoying my sound bites. Wow, it's good news. Anyway, moving along to the Roosters. So Victor Bradley has been named to return. That's fantastic. I think his last game was round seven last year. So he will start from the bench, and I think it's going to be too long before we see him starting to get some bigger minutes in the starting side. Angus Crichton also returns from suspension. And I actually made the move to trade him out last weekend, mate. It was a, I would say I probably had 3 to 4 beers under my belt. So the Dutch Courage was there, and I looked and I traded in my mate TBJ. So he's in my side, Crichton out, but I'll be looking to bring Crichton back in, although that he won't rise in price until round four. So looks like if you don't own him, he's a player that you probably want to get over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I know many people made that move once Maddo news came in, so they thought get Crichton out for somebody, get the extra points this week, and then trade Maddo to Crichton next week. So it's not a bad ploy, just means you're moving an extra trade sort of that you weren't expecting to, but it was a nice little loophole that you could have exploited.
It is, and then with the likes of like a Mitch Barnett this available this week, it's kind of like, well, do I just wait another week for Crichton, or do you bring a Mitch Barnett in of the belief that he's going to be a season-long keeper, because you've kind of already burnt a trade. You don't want to be burning too many of those ones going forward. So
yeah, exactly.
It's an interesting time, but I've got a few points there on is Lindsay Collins and Tupanua as well, who have been outstanding over the opening 2 weeks. And then on the bottom side of it is Lachlan Lamb. What do we do with him, mate? Are you going to be holding on or chopping him off?
Well, my starting 5-8s to come into the year were Lachlan Lamb and Matt Moylan, so I'm getting rid of the bigger problem there to start with. Lamb I thought was okay on without being spectacular. He knocked over a 40, which wasn't great, but it's better than he did the first week, so he got a little bit more involved until he gets the boot for Sam Walker, which I think will happen probably in the next month or so, if not sooner. Just ride it out. He's not going to lose you too much money if he keeps knocking over 40s, and then you can trade him down to someone.
Yeah, look, he's probably one of my trade-out candidates this week and next. I just don't, he's not bottom-priced, 300K, very awkward, and that cash can be used elsewhere is the way I'm looking at it, but plenty of decisions to be made. Let's move on to the Raiders versus the Warriors. For the Raiders, massive news with Jared Croker having been named to make his first game, play his first game of the year, and he replaces Sebastian Chris, who's I thought been pretty good. Scored a try last week. One that was reversed, but he's looked okay. So could feel himself to be a little bit unlucky. He drops down to the reserves. Anything else there on the Raiders that you want to touch on?
No, I just want to echo your sentiments on Chris there. I thought he's been one of their better players in the first 2 weeks. Bailey Simonson was a concern. Everyone started with him being basement price, but Croker was always coming back into the centres, so I think Chris is just a victim of his positioning there.
Yeah, look, I haven't actually minded Simonson's games at all. I think they've been pretty good. He seems to be looking for more work than he previously had. had been. So I think that it's not too long before there's a big score there. They just need to start scoring a few more points, the Raiders. There's a guy there that I'm so happy to see doing well, though, Ryan James. He's flying at the moment. The poor guy has suffered a fair bit over the past couple of years with injury, but he's been outstanding. It's a try. That line break last week was sensational. So I'd love to bring him into my side this week, but I'm just struggling to find the trades to do it over a few of the other moves I need to make. Is he someone that you started with? I know the People's team did, but are you looking to bring him in?
No, I've got to look to bring him in. I touted him all off season and then just went against my own judgment to start the year. But I've always thought, like, James was one of our first picked only, you know, 2 seasons ago when he was healthy. So I always thought he could get back up there, but whether he's going to get the minutes with a concern. And he's still got the double Coreys hanging over his head. They'll be back next week or the week after. So there'll be a bit of an interest there in how he goes. But, yeah, he's been fantastic for them. He's 230K. So my thoughts at the moment is I'll miss him this week. He'll rise a bit, obviously, with a very nice break even he's got there, negative 52, I believe it is. And then he'll kick on up, and hopefully I can maybe swing another underperformer for him next week.
Yeah, I mean, that Staines trade you can make pretty easily if you've got Capewell in your second row. Staines has been underperforming, but it is a bit of a risky move because all he needs to do is one line breaker to try, and then you kind of really ruin that you've traded him out. Moving along to the Warriors, absolute carnage there is what we spoke about at the start with CHT and also JTB out. CDHT obviously missing for a longer period of time, but that sees Bunty Afoa come in a prop for JTB. Sean O'Sullivan, next Bronco, will start in the halves. Don't get too excited there, Warriors fans. And then you got Jack Murchie returning from injury on the bench as well. So plenty happening there for the Warriors, who have been pretty good to start the season, you have to say.
Yeah, they were impressive last week. They pushed my boys right to the end. It was only some Brad and Bess brilliance that got us over the line. I thought the Warriors were going to steal it, but a bit surprised about O'Sullivan. He's obviously up the pecking order a bit more, but I thought Paul Turner was the next big thing in halves at the Warriors, and it would have been really nice for us. He's got 5'8" and center wing eligibilities, and he's a little bit cheaper, so that would have been real handy.
What are your thoughts on Tohu Harris? He's had a monster couple of weeks, 66 and an 85. His basis at 63 points per game. That's just cracking. I was a little bit concerned, particularly last week, to see what Jazz Tavunga had done, was going to do, but proved not to cause too many issues. I think Harris played about 73 minutes, which is down from the 80 that he played in round one, but looks like he's going to be pretty much shoe in for top five center wing. Isn't going to increase in price too much this week.
Second row,
but second row. But if you're looking for someone to as a Ryan Madison replacement, then Tohu has to be right at the top of that list.
Absolutely, he's still playing big minutes in the middle. He got a bit of a spell at the back end of the first half, and then once Jazz comes on, Tohu moves out wide where he can get a few more attacking stats. But again, going to be another premier second rower for your season.
All right, mate, let's just take a very quick break there before we jump into our next game.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back with the Broncos versus the Bulldogs Saturday night. And I think, as I've said in my team's analysis verbatim, thankfully I will be either finishing my round of golf or on my way out for dinner, so I will be able to avoid this absolute pigsty of a game. Is there any way else to describe this?
No, this is sort of a spoon clash at the moment.
This is terrific.
Yeah, yeah, but we got a few of those this year. We've already had a couple, but this is really a bad one. If there's nothing else of a silver lining for you, it's that the Broncos are well in with a chance of beating the Bulldogs, but even that, you wouldn't hang your hat on it.
Well, mate, considering you've got three kids, this is perfectly in the middle of witching hour for you. So I think that you'd rather be what you need to over that period of time.
And doing bars and stuff. Yeah,
watching this piece of crap of a game.
Get some brownie points up.
And mate, I've got no idea what Kevy's doing here. They've named the same starting 7-13 as last week. Surely there's got to be some changes. All the talk's been about Tom Dearden, and he's been named in the number 18 jersey. You've still got Milford and Brody Croft there. So who knows what's happening? But expect late changes here would be my only word of caution. For the Broncos, it was great to see Tessie and also Ricky last week put in some great performances. They're going to get some nice prize horses now. The other one of interest too for me was Jermaine Asako with 80 points. So he's priced pretty well. Disappointing opening start, but if he can keep putting scores up like that, then people are going to take interest pretty soon. Moving on to the Bulldogs, you got RFM, which we spoke about before. He's going to be missing 20 weeks with a broken foot, so shocking luck for him. Corey Waddell comes into the starting side, and then you've got Katoa replacing DWZ on the wing, and then the other Katoa, Sione, will start at hooker for Jeremy Marshall King. The only point of note there that I'll just make is Josh Jackson. He's been incredible over the past 2 weeks with scores of 57 and 75, all coming from base, so just an absolute worker. Priced at 439K, and he just joins probably about another five guys that are just massive options now at the mid-priced territory, the 400 to 500. There's plenty of guys there now to look at. And I think it looks like being one of the safer ones for us to ride until we can upgrade to a second-row forward keeper. What are your thoughts?
100%, mate. I agree with you there. Jackson was always a huge worker, so putting him in the middle where he was going to get a bunch of base stats was just a genius play, I think. The only concern was what Elliott was going to do, but they've happily ridden Jackson throughout the middle for his time, and he's just delivering. If you've taken a punt on him to start the year, bravo. Well done. So,
that's what his owners are saying right now. Oh, yeah. Let's move on to the Eels versus the Sharks, mate. Saturday night, Bank West Stadium at Parramatta, 7:30. It's hopefully it's not flooding and we can actually get some footy in. Ryan Madison is out due to concussion. Now, he's been replaced in the starting size. Well, I'd say a guy that I think was a hype player a couple of years, but Isaiah Papali has just been fantastic off the bench, and now he gets his opportunity to start in the number 12 jersey, and then you've got Ray Stone who comes onto the bench. So they're the main changes, or the only changes for Parramatta. What takes your fancy here?
Just Niokoro still playing in centres inside Blake Ferguson, so hopefully they can develop a bit of a combination for any Fergo owners. You still got Dylan Brown, Mitch Moses on opposite sides of the field. Moses come out this week and said, you know, bring it. So he wants to stay over there and develop something. As far as the forwards go, as you spoke, Papali'i is now on the what was Maddo playing on the left second row, but he's not a huge minute guy. So maybe Nathan Brown jags a few more minutes. They got to leave him out there a bit longer to cover some players, and he can get a few more stats and pump his scores up, but I don't see it impacting the team hugely. But Papali'i is not going to be a must-have now. Sean Lane's still not a must-have. Junior Polo is just destroying teams and becoming one of the top two or three front rowers in the competition. Do you have him?
I do not. It definitely was a guy that I was looking at before the season started, and it's just a bit tricky, right, because I think you probably got the same two guys as me in TKO and also Welch. I mean, to be able to get Paulo and you always have to side trade one of those, which you're not going to do unless either of those guys just starts to really underperform. You can't really make a case for that. So unfortunately, I'll just have to wait, I think, until one of my cows fatten up nicely and then make the upgrade.
Yeah, that's it. And so you got Payne Haas, we didn't mention before, but he's due back next week for the Broncos. So he's the cream of the crop in that front row position. So he'll be one of the targets for the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, limited position in the front row, and you don't want to waste too many guys sitting on your bench in that position.
No, absolutely. You don't. What are your thoughts on Reid Mahoney? He's obviously had an outstanding start to the year, playing 80 minutes, producing 58 points in base. All the attacking stats have been there, you know, he's going to earn a fair amount of coin. He's 100K more expensive than Brayley or thereabouts. Can you justify that? Or if you didn't own both of those, you'd be going to Brayley?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm doing. I don't have either, and I'm going to go with Brayley just for the price difference. But I can absolutely justify getting Reid Mahoney. He's getting, as you said, 58 in base, and pretty much 50 of those is with tackles every week. And he's taken on more of the responsibility of the kicking games and running the ball and setting guys up now. So if he can keep that going, and that's his role in the team, I think he's generally a mid-50s averager across the years. He's going to bump that up to mid-60s, easy.
And what's happening at the Sharks, mate?
Not a whole lot, really. Connor Tracy comes in. Marwini Hirodi, I believe I've pronounced that probably awfully. But he was hooked halfway through the game last week in the loss to Canberra. So Tracy replaces him, who they're pretty much only covering time until Jesse Romijn comes back after he got suspended for a couple of weeks. You mentioned at the top of the pod, Siasifatelakai is a couple of weeks away still. That keeps getting pushed out. But other than that, the only thing of interest is Andrew Fifita still sitting in the resies, and Sean Johnson due back in, 6 weeks, something like that. So he'll provide another avenue for a decent half. But how he returns from Achilles injury, it's going to be a huge watch.
Moving along to the Knights and the Tigers. So we've got Kurt Mann is set to play. He was laid out last week. Phoenix Crossland is dropping out due to suspension. Now, that's probably the only thing really to talk to there about the Knights. The big talking points this week is what to do with Mitch Barnett and Jaden Brayley. Do you own both of them, or were you looking to bring them in?
I'm looking to bring them both in. I was a bit skeptical on how they were going to go. I tend to favour the Knights, and so I try to temper my expectations for them and try not to have too many guys in my team, just, you know, in case my team does fail like they have so many times before, and I don't want to be all my eggs in the one basket. But they're both doing extremely well, so they're hard to leave out at this stage.
Yeah, they have. And I mean, I don't own either. I think I'll be definitely bringing in Brayley for probably Nathan Brown this week and saving the Maddow trade until next week, just on the basis that Brown's going to lose a fair amount of cash. I might rethink that depending on what my 17 looks like. But the concern for me is what happens when Caelan Ponga returns in the next 2 weeks. Does he take over the goal kicking, or does the sheer fact that Barnett has been kicking so well mean that the full-time kicking duties are taken off Ponga? So it's a real question mark there, because I think you're left with either a guy that's going to be a season-long keeper, a second rower that's getting through 45 or so base points per game, plus 12 or so for goal kicking. He's doing some other fantastic stuff as well. You've got a keeper outside of a guy that's going to be a 55 to 60 second row forward, and mixed in with probably about 20 other guys that are going to produce the same. So you're going to have to likely to trade him out. So it's a bit of a dilemma for me. I think Barry Tui, your mate as well, said that big chance if he keeps nailing from the sideline, was his response to a guy that asked if there's any chance if Barnett will be kicking goals upon Ponga's return. So that's something to that kind of is swaying me to maybe taking the risk with Barnett, because you surely don't want to miss out on that price rise that he's going to get. And over the next couple of weeks, mate, you've got the Tigers versus the Dragons. So plenty of points there for the Knights, and I want a piece of that, I think.
Yeah, exactly right. So Barnett only came out a week or so ago and said he was holding the tee for Ponga until he gets back, but the noise is coming louder and louder that he should hold it considering what he's doing. So it's hard to argue that he should. He's been amazing in that respect. And,
you know, and there's an argument there as well that it could take some of the pressure off Ponga as well.
Yeah, exactly right. And Ponga's not a dead-eye dick that, you know, everyone thinks he should be because we want his super coach points. But when you look at his goal kicking for what it is, he's not the best kicker in the league. So maybe he can just give it up. He can just focus on what he can do best, which is attacking footy.
Agree. And I think, well, if Barnett can keep it, that's certainly going to be better for us in Supercoach this year, because I can't see anybody shifting a Pappy or a Teddy to a Ponga potentially, and you've also got Turbo back. So if we where we want those points moving to, it's probably to Barnett is going to be better for us all. Let's move to the Tigers. There's been plenty of changes happening here. Joey Leilua has been dropped with James Roberts returning to the starting side. And Zane Musgrove also returns, replaces Joe O at prop after his fantastic week. And I think some of the Tigers fans might be seeing a bit of the frustration that the Broncos supporters have seen over the past couple of seasons with Joe O's inconsistent performances, may we say.
Yeah, the biggest news for that move for me is that Stefano Utoik. Stefano,
come on, mate, you've got it. We've got all day.
Utoik Kamanu. It should. It might impact him more than anything else because you look at it, you've got Musgrove, Tamo, Offa, and Michaeli on the bench there. So all these middle forwards, we were sort of relying on Stefano to get 30, 35 minutes a game and sort of a one PPM, but if they come and steal some minutes, that's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah. I hadn't actually thought about that. I had wrote that I'm expecting him to probably play around 35 minutes, around about that. But you make a good point. I mean, they do still have Mbai on the bench, so that could mean that that there's still minutes to be had. But, yeah, you make a valid point. But still, he's going to earn cash and be a slow burn. I think even if it's 100 grand, that's fine.
That's it, and that's all we're expecting from him anyway.
Let's move to the Cowboys versus the Titans. What is going on with the Cowboys, mate? It's a sad state of affairs up there. You've got Talagai who replaces the suspended Kyle Felt. And, yeah, it's kind of a weird sight seeing Kyle Felt out of this Cowboys team. I haven't really seen too much of that recently. And then Val Holmes was the only talking point that I really had for the Cowboys. So 61 points, and he looks like he's taking over the goalkeeping duties again as well there. So that would be something that's interesting to watch. And then lastly, Ruben Cotter has kept Josh Maguire out of the starting side. I think that was a late switch before the start of the game last weekend. So that's probably one to monitor going forward.
Yeah, that's it. And Cotter's not someone you can target because Lolo's going to be back in about 5 weeks, so he's not going to do a huge job for you and he's not going to be a huge scorer. Valentine Holmes is an interesting one, taking up the goal kicking, which helps his cause a little bit, but out on the wing, you just can't go near him. In saying that, Drinkwater's been far from special at the back, so I think it's only a matter of time before Val's back there in the number one. And he's got something like 120 break-even at the moment, so he's going to drop some cash in the next couple of weeks. It could be just a juicy trade-in once he does get that number one on his back.
He could. And I think I had read reports, I think Jake Clifford's on his way out. And is he heading to the Knights next year?
He is heading to the Knights next year, yeah.
So that's another interesting one there as well, right? Like, do they – and I'm sure they just want the points this year, but, you know, if their long-term option is Vel, do they just give him the goal kick now and just persist if he's going to be the long-term option?
Well, that's it. And if Clifford's not going to be there next year, put Drinkwater back in the halves. If that's going to be your plan, put Val at the back.
Indeed. Let's move on to the Titans. I can sense this being a bit of a great way to finish the weekend as a Broncos fan, watching the Titans get destroyed by the Titans, who I do have a bit of a soft spot. I think everybody has a little bit of a soft spot after what they've been through over the past decade or so. Ash Taylor is out for a few weeks with a hand injury and has been replaced in the halves by Tana Boyd. So they're the only changes. I think I said it last week to you. You picked the Dave Fifita for one, but I can sense a massive Tino game this weekend. He hasn't quite lived up to the hype with scores of 60 and 46, but they've all been in base. So there's a big game just around the corner, and potentially it's against this Cowboys side that could really just let him just run all over him.
Tino was a funny one last week. He was in everything against the Broncos and just the points didn't come. But so, yeah, I agree with you. He's something around the corner. With David Fifita, going back a week in the pouring rain and Billy Kickow playing through a HIA too, so he missed 15 minutes of the game. He scored 123 points running at the right edge defense of the Cowboys, which is where Dave Fifita is going to be playing this week. So it's my eyes are lighting up.
Yeah, mate. I'm pretty jealous for the owners out there, not being one myself, because he hasn't missed a beat since making the transfer. And I tell you what, it's a little bit heartbreaking as a Broncos fan.
Is that why you don't have him? Just out of spite?
No. You can't fit them all in, mate. That's true. This is true. Well, they're all the teens, mate. And I just want to congratulate you. There we go. There's a little cheer. 39 minutes. See what happens when JT is not on board. Efficiency.
You're getting through to the point. But, yeah, so JT and I do love a bit of a waffle. It's good fun.
You do. And it's great. I'm looking forward to listening to you boys tomorrow, or Thursday it'll be. How are we going to close this one out? Any final takeaways or anything that you want to add, mate?
Just use your trades this week, I think. It's a very important week. I was kind of against it last week. I was on the save trade bandwagon, but this week use them. Fix up your team as much as you can before those price changes.
Good stuff. So you've got an article coming out. Is it going to be tomorrow or on Thursday? I know you boys were thinking about swapping it around, but either way, it's going to be coming out over the next 2 days. Article which you cannot miss. I think the people stand with them pretty well, thanks to your suggestions, mate. And I know that the voting's been happening within that for the captain, and I think we've nailed it the past 2 weeks, like everybody else that owns Teddy, but still good stuff.
Yeah, mate. So it's hard to go past Teddy at the moment, isn't he? I thought he was going to be swimming last week, and he still, you know, made his way over for 2 tries. So he's going to break all sorts of records this year.
Incredible. But everything else coming up on the site, the podcast coming out tomorrow, then we finish up with buy, sell, hold, and also with Styles' late mail, and then into another fantastic round. Hopefully the rain subsides and people can make sure they're healthy and everything's okay, and the footy is back for the weekend, because it's only round 3. We've got a long season to go.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.